Okay. So, while I'm waiting for Archita to put the words to a song about Radharani, written, composed by Rupa Goswami on the screen there, I'll read something that a devotee asked Prabhupada here in Los Angeles. I think it was 1968. That loud enough? Can everybody hear me okay? Loud enough? Okay. So this devotee asked Prabhupada, what is the proper relationship of the devotee to Radha, Radhika? Prabhupada. Radharani is Daivi Maya. Just like we are in our material condition, we are under the material energy. Similarly, in our liberated state, we have to become under the spiritual energy. That spiritual energy is Radharani. We are acting at present under the material energy because our body is made of material energy. So when you are liberated, you will develop your body of spiritual energy. That spiritual energy is Radharani. So you have to become under the control of some energy. You are also energy. You are marginal energy. Marginal energy means you may be under the control of the spiritual energy or you may be under the control of the material energy, your marginal position. But when you're under the control of the material energy, that is your precarious condition, struggle for existence. And when you're under the spiritual energy, that is your life of freedom. Radharani is spiritual energy. And Durga or Kali is material energy. So those who are materialists, they worship Durga, Kali, the material, different forms of material energy. There is a word in Sanskrit, shakti, anyway, it goes on a little bit. Getting back to Radharani, I'm going to skip a little part here. The Krishna consciousness practice means you have to transfer yourself from this material energy, from under the control of the material energy to under the control of the spiritual energy. That's all. That spiritual energy is Radharani. You have to come under that control. Let's see. That I'll give you one concrete example. Just like a person is always under the control of government as citizen. When he is outlaw, he is under the criminal law. And who is law-abiding, he is under civil law. He cannot say that I will not remain within the law of the government. He has to. That is his position. Artificially, he may deny, but he will be forced. Similarly, our position is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And as part and parcel, we have to render service. We voluntarily render service out of love. That is spiritual energy. Or we are forced to render service under pressure. That is material energy. So that was Prabhupada's answer to that question. Okay. So we'll sing this song. And then I'll read the Prabhupada's purport to the song, which is really ecstatic. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite Damodara Rati Vardhana Beshe Hari Neskuta Brindavi Pineshe Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate Prashabhanu Dadi Navashashi Leke Lalita Shakti Guna Ramita Vishake. Vade Jaya Jaya Madhava Jayate. Vade Jaya Jaya Madhava Jayate. Karunam Kurumai Karuna Bhadite Sanaka Sanatana Varnita Charite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jayate. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jayate. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite. Blissful song. So this was Srila Prabhupada's purport to that song. He said, this song was sung by Rupa Goswami. He is the real person, actual person, to understand Radha and Krishna. So he says, all glories to Radharani, Radhe, Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate. She's so dear to Krishna. Krishna, everyone is trying to love Krishna, but Krishna is trying to love somebody. Now, how great she is. Just try to understand. Everyone, the whole world, the whole universe, all living entities, they are trying to love Krishna, Krishna Prem. Lord Chaitanya describes Prema Pumartha Mahan. And Rupa Goswami described that you are distributing Krishna Prem. So Krishna Prem is so valuable, but Krishna is after Radharani. Just see how Radharani is great. Just try to understand the greatness of Radharani. Therefore, she is so great, and we have to offer our respect. Radhe, Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate. How she is? Gokulatarini Mandala Mahite. Taruni means young girls. You'll see the pictures. They're all young girls. But of all the young girls, she is the most beautiful. She is enchanting to the young girls also. She is so beautiful. Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite. Damodara Rati Vardana Veshe. And she always dresses herself so nicely that Damodar Krishna becomes attracted by her beauty. Hari Niskuta Brinda Vipineshe. And she is the only lovable object of Krishna. And she is the queen of Vrindavan. You'll find in Vrindavan, if you go to Vrindavan, everyone is worshipping Radharani. Rani means queen. They're always speaking, Jai Radhe, Radharani. All the devotees in Vrindavan, they are worshipper of Radharani. Hari Niskuta Brinda Vipineshe. Vrishabhanu Dadi Navashashi Leke. And she appeared as the daughter of King Vrishabhanu. And her companions, Lalita and Vishakha, and the devotees. So on behalf of the pure devotees of Krishna, Rupa Goswami is praying, Karunam Kudumai Karuna Bharite. Oh, my worshipable Radharani, you are full of mercy. So I am begging of your mercy because you are so merciful. Very easily you offer. Bestow your mercy. So I'm begging your mercy. Karunam kudumai karuna bharite sanaka sanatana varnita charite. Now somebody may say, oh, you are so great, learned scholar. You are so great, saintly person. And you are begging mercy from an ordinary girl? How is that? Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, oh, this is not ordinary girl. Sanaka Sanatana Varnita Charite. This girl's description is possible to be made by great saintly persons like Sanatana. She is not ordinary. Jai. So that's a very beautiful song. That's in the songbook. So as Prabhupada starts off by saying here, this is a song sung by Rupa Goswami. He's the real person, the actual person, to understand Radha and Krishna. So a couple points on that. One is Prabhupada elsewhere in some lectures. I went through the Veda base and I read the lectures that Prabhupada gave on Radhastami, and then I did a search on Radharani through all the lectures. So I've got a lot of nice information here. So one point Prabhupada makes is that this Radha and Krishna worship can only be understood properly by somebody in the liberated stage. So that's one qualification of Rupa Goswami, that not just Rupa Goswami, but the rest of the Goswamis, a lot of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they were Nitya Siddha devotees. There in the Gaura Ganadesha Deepika, it's described that Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari, Sanatana Goswami is, I think it's Labhanga Manjari Siddha, etc. So they were actually qualified to understand Radharani and the relationship between Radha and Krishna properly. And another thing is that Rupa Goswami, on the external platform, he actually had the association of Radharani at one time. There's this very nice story which Prabhupada tells. So I could find it for you real quick. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so this is a story that Prabhupada tells in a few lectures about when Rupa Goswami got the association of Srimati Radharani. It says he was living in the forest of Vrindavan. Okay. So Sanatana Goswami was his elder brother. Actually, I'll just tell it because I know the story pretty well. So Rupa Goswami was living in the forest. It was at that point, it was just basically him and Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan. It was in the early days, so to speak. So Rupa Goswami was thinking, boy, I'd really like to, but they weren't living in the same exact spot. But so Rupa Goswami was thinking, I'd really like to, cook a nice lunch for my brother, Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was his older brother, and, he considered him like his guru, in a sense, although they were both disciples of Lord Chaitanya. But, so he was thinking like that, but, he's in the middle of the forest, so what do? When you could just, he was desiring, but there was no way, no means. I mean, there wasn't Loy Bazaar at that time. There was just fields. So anyway, so he was thinking like that, and then after some time, this young girl appears on the scene, and she explains that, oh, we had some festival. It's actually, you can't, if you ever get a chance to hear Prabhupada tell this story, take advantage of it, because the way Prabhupada tells it is so charming. But so she shows up and he goes, no, but you, who are you? And she goes, oh, I'm from the village, my mother, we had some festival. He says, no, but I don't know you. I have not seen you before, because he knew the. So she goes, yeah. Anyway, so somehow she got him to just accept that she was just a girl from the village, and that they had all these ingredients left over from some festival. So he took the ingredients, and he was, he's very happy. And he noticed, wow, this is a very nice young girl, very beautiful young girl. So he took the ingredients. He was very happy, and he said, okay, wonderful. Now I can prepare this feast for my brother, Sanatana Goswami. And so he did, and he invited him, and he came, and he's serving him the feast, and he's eating. Oh, this is very nice prasadam thing. Where did you get the ingredients? And so he starts to tell him, explain. Well, this very nice young girl came, very beautiful young girl. She came with these ingredients, and Sanatana Goswami was immediately kind of suspicious. He said, oh, So what did she look like? So he started describing what she looked like. Oh, she's very beautiful, very thick, black, shiny hair. And he started describing different things about her. And then he said, oh, you've made a great mistake. So what you, that was Radharani. You've taken service from Radharani. You know, our whole thing is we want to serve Radha and Krishna. And you've taken service from Radharani, so you've made a great blunder like that. So in other words, he confirmed that was, you know, Radharani had come to serve Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami in that way. There's another story where another one of the Goswamis also had an experience with Radharani. Well, you know, I mean, probably all the Goswamis internally would have experiences with Radharani, but at least there's some stories that we're familiar with, that, you know, that would come to the, that even manifested on the external plane, so to speak. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was reading a poem or a song, something that Rupa Goswami wrote, glorifying Radharani. And in one place in the in his writing, he compared Radharani's hair to the hood of a black snake, to a snake. And so Raghunath Das Goswami was reading that, and he was thinking, is this proper? I mean, I don't know if he was thinking, is it accurate, or is it inappropriate, or, you know, is it appropriate? The details aren't there in the version of the story I wrote. But he was just wondering, is this proper? Is this correct? So anyway, so some time passed, and he was in, I think he was in Seva Kunj. I can't remember exactly where he was, but he was in some kind of spiritual place. I think it was Seva Kunj. And he saw by one kadamba tree, there was a very beautiful girl on a swing. And she was, you know, she had a lot of friends around her, and they were swinging her on the swing. And he, you know, he looked, and from the angle he was at, he could see, oh yeah, she was a very beautiful girl, very beautiful girl. And she had very, you know, black, thick, black, oily, shiny hair. And it was kind of braided and going down her back, you know. Well, he didn't know that. He, from where he was standing, he could just make out the girl, the form, and something very black and shiny on her back. And so he was looking, and he got a little closer, and then he decided, no, that's a black snake climbing up the back of this girl. So I have to, and so he got closer, and he said, hey, girl, you know, so he called out, he said, be careful, you know, and, you know, there's a snake on your back like that. So as soon as he did that, all the girlfriends, you know, they disappeared, they were shakis, you know, they kind of also disappeared. And then Radharani did too, but then he could realize, he realized just right after that happened that, oh, that was Radharani, actually, and directly showing him that, you know, what Rupa Goswami had written was correct. You know, it was correct. That he actually saw for himself that Radharani's hair was like that. It's like, a, you know, because he got experienced that, got fooled like that. Then, there's another nice pastime with one of the Goswamis, not one of the six Goswamis, but one of the next generation Goswamis, Shamananda Goswami. He was Duki Krishnadas, and he wanted to do service in Seva Kunj. His spiritual master was Ridai Chaitanya, and he put him under the charge of Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan. So he developed this desire to do service in Seva Kunj, so he was allowed to go there and in the late hours, you know, of the evening, and he was cleaning. So one evening he found a nupura, an ankle bracelet, and he felt there's something unusual about this ankle bracelet, but anyway. So he just was doing his service, you know, and then maybe the next night, a very beautiful girl approached him and said, oh, this, did you find anything? Any bracelet, any jewelry? He said, yeah, yeah. He said, oh, that, he said, I did. And, you know, and she started to describe it a little bit. And, no, he told her right off, I found this. And she said, oh, yeah, that belongs to my, is that yours? He said, no, it belongs to my, you know, my friend. She's from a very aristocratic family. She can't come out like that. And But Dukhi Krishna was kind of reluctant to give it to her because he didn't know. He thought, well, she could be telling the truth. Maybe she said, maybe she could come here. And anyway, so it was Lalita Shakti, actually, but he didn't know that. And then the next day or shortly thereafter, she came back with Radharani. And Radharani was very pleased. You know, he could understand. She revealed her... She allowed him to understand what was going on, that, you know, he was Radharani, his Lalita Shakti. And she expressed to him that she was very pleased with his service that he was doing in the Seva Kunj there. And so she took the Nupura, the ankle bracelet, and she touched it in the sand, and she touched it to his forehead. And she actually gave him a tilak mark. It became a tilak mark on his forehead, and it wouldn't wash off. It wouldn't wash off. And also, she gave him a name. She said, because my name is Shama, and because you have given me pleasure, Ananda, so your new name, or your name is now Shamananda. So he received this name from Radharani, and a tilak mark. And so when he got back, and his spiritual master heard about this, Hridaya Chaitanya, he was very disturbed. And but anyway, I can't remember the actual detail, but then it somehow or another it became revealed to his spiritual master, Hridaya Chaitanya, as well, that he hadn't, impertinently surpassed his guru, but that really, really and truly was awarded to him. That name was given to him by Radharani, and that tilak mark was given to him by Radharani. And when he understood that, of course, he was very pleased. He was very happy. And then there's one with one incident with Srinivasacharya. Srinivasacharya was he was meditating, and these are all these devotees, like Nitya Siddha devotees, so they're, they're meditating in the Siddha Deha. So he was meditating, and he became, he was meditating, and he went very deep into the meditation, to the point where he wasn't coming out. And a day passed, and he was still in this meditation. He used to do this regularly, but on this particular occasion, he was meditating, and for a much longer period of time. And a day passed, and he didn't come out. And another day passed, and he wouldn't come out. And everybody was getting really worried. They thought, "Oh my God, is he? Has he gone into samadhi? Is this it? Is he leaving the earthly pastimes?" And then there was this one. I think it was a disciple of his, Ramachandra Kaviraj. He was a disciple. He was a very close disciple, very intimate disciple. So they figured he's the only one who could help us in this situation. So they didn't know where he was at first, but then somehow or another he just appeared on the scene at the beginning of the third day, I think it was, after some reasonable time. And so he sat down next to him, and he also went into meditation, right? And then he was able to understand that what happened was that in his meditation, Srinivasacharya, he became aware of this pastime where Radharani had taken a bath in the Yamuna, and she had lost an earring. An earring fell off, and all the associates were trying to find this earring. And he, Srinivasacharya, in his, I think it's Mani Manjari, is his eternal, his name as a Nitya Siddha. So he was also trying to help him. They're all swimming and going underwater and trying to find this earring. And Ramachandra Kaviraj, he could understand what was going on, and he could understand that until they found that earring, nobody was coming back. Nobody was going to stop looking. So anyway, he really prayed for the mercy, and he found the earring. He found the earring under a lotus flower, under the water there. And he gave that, I guess you never heard this before, I'm just repeating what I read in this book. He gave the earring to his guru, Srinivasacharya, who then gave it to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who was also there in his eternal spiritual form. He was part of that pastime. And then Gopal Bhatta Goswami gave it to Lalita Shakti, who then returned it to Radharani. So at least the author of the book there, he makes the point that we should note how, Ramachandra Kavaraj didn't give it directly to Radharani. He observed that etiquette of, you know, Maryada Vyatikrama, not impertinently surpassing one superior. He gave it to his guru, who gave it to his guru, gave it to his guru, and then it was returned to Radharani. So she was very pleased. Oh, yeah, and then after that happened, Radharani was very pleased. So then she came, and she gave, not to Ramachandra, but to Srinivasacharya, she gave him some betel nut that she had, maha, that she had already chewed on, tambula, it's called, I think, in, you know, the Sanskrit word. So, you know, it had like a special, obviously, quality to it, a fragrance and everything. So he took that in the, you know, in the internal meditation, and he wrapped it in his uttariya, you know, his top cloth, like that. But then he came out of the meditation, and he came back to the external consciousness. And both him and Ramachandra Kaviraj came out pretty much at the same time, just like, and all the devotees were very happy because, you know, they were concerned that he's still alive, you know, but they were very much alive. And then he became aware of the tambula because of the fragrance of it and everything. I can't remember if he distributed to the devotees or not, but he realized, you know, he had received Radharani's mercy. She gave him that. And it actually, he was able to bring it back from the meditation like that. So anyway, there's probably so many more stories of the different very advanced devotees getting Radharani's mercy, but those are a few that I became aware of in my research there. So, I'm going to read a few more things here that I... Okay, I'm going to read this one. This is a nice statement by Prabhupada where he talks about the relationship between Radharani, Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya. It's good to hear something like this on a day like today. So Prabhupada says, referring to Lord Chaitanya, he's playing the part of Radharani. He is worshipping Krishna as Radharani worshipped Krishna. There's a verse composed by Lord Chaitanya. He says, and asli shiva pataratam panastumam madarshanam mamatam kurotava yata tata vabadadhatta lampato mapranatas tusaevan aparaha. So he's praying, my Lord Krishna, either you trample me down by your feet, either you embrace me as lover, you make me brokenhearted without your presence, whatever you like you can do, but I am still your eternal servitor. So this attitude is Radharani's. So Lord Chaitanya is the feature of Krishna understanding Radharani. That Krishna is great, undoubtedly, but he thinks that Radharani is greater than him because he cannot repay the loving transaction of Radha. So he wanted to study what is there in Radharani. This is Lord Chaitanya thinking. So I cannot study Radharani. No, Krishna thinking. So I cannot study Radharani in my feature. If I take the feature of Radharani, then I can understand. So Prabhupada goes, that is the highest. I mean to say transcendental sentiments. Lord Chaitanya is Radharani's feature. Tadvayam chaityam aptam chaitanyakyam pakatam aduna tadvayam chaitam aptam. Krishna, when he wants to enjoy, he expands his pleasure potency, which is Radharani. Now one Krishna becomes two, Krishna and his pleasure potency. And that pleasure potency, when unites with Krishna, that is Chaitanya. Krishna becomes two, Radharani and Krishna. Krishna cannot enjoy anything material because he is full in himself. Therefore, he has to enjoy something. Then that enjoyable personality must be expanded from him only. So that is Radharani. And when that enjoyable personality again takes into one, that is Chaitanya. So that's Prabhupada explaining the relationship between Radha, Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya. Here's another nice excerpt where Prabhupada says something about the attitude of the devotees in Vaikuntha or in the spiritual world. And it mentions, talks about Radharani as well. So Prabhupada says, in the Vaikuntha world, there is comparative devotional service, just like Radharani and the gopis. Well, one thing that got me is when I was reading this, I was saying, well, wait a second, but Radharani is not in Vaikuntha. She's in Goloka Vrindavan. But Goloka Vrindavan is a Vaikuntha planet. It's the supreme, it's the topmost Vaikuntha planet, because, you know, Vaikuntha means without anxiety. So all these spiritual planets are Vaikuntha planets, and of course Goloka Vrindavan is topmost. It's, you know, special. There's certain rasas that are going on in Goloka Vrindavan that aren't in Vaikuntha. So, but it is a, I mean, it's not incorrect. It's a Vaikuntha planet. So anyway, Prabhupada says, so just like Radharani and the gopis, they are on the same status, but the gopis know that Radharani is the better worshiper than us. Therefore, their only business is how to take Radharani and join with Krishna. That is Vaikuntha understanding. They are not envious that Krishna loves Radharani so much, and they are envious. No, no, not at all. They want it that Krishna loves Radharani so much, and Radharani loves, Prabhupada doesn't finish the sentence. They simply try to join them, and they are happy. Oh, Krishna and Radharani is now joined together. That is their happiness. Notice that's the happiness of all the residents there. That is Vaikuntha appreciation. So that was a nice one. And okay, this next one is very nice because it gives us a little insight into the intimacy, or the confidentiality of the pastimes between Radha and Krishna, and just in general those higher rasas that are only present in Goloka Vrindavan. So this is Prabhupada speaking. He says, so they are not ordinary. We should not think like that. The Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhava. That is Krishna's expansion of pleasure potency. Krishna wants to be controlled by Yasodamayi. Krishna wants to be defeated by his friends. Krishna wants to be refused Radharani's darshan. Yes. Radharani is angry. She has refused. She has ordered the Shakis, don't allow Krishna to come here. Yes, Krishna is flattering. And Prabhupada laughs. Kindly let me go. No, sir, you cannot go. This is Krishna, you see. But at the same time, Gopi Jana Balabha, Krishna is, that is Krishna's actual life. He is Gopi Jana Balabha. He is Radha Madhava. He is Giri Bhadadhari. As soon as the gopis and the cowherd boys in distress, he will uplift this hill, Govardhan. That is Krishna's life. And it goes on. But, some idea is there that, you know, it's such an amazing relationship that Krishna is wanting, you know, he's wanting that kind of a exchange with Radharani. And this is something that's a little bit more basic here. This is, I believe, from the Nectar of Devotion. Prabhupada says, he quotes, Rupa Goswami has stated that devotional service attracts even Krishna. Krishna attracts everyone, but devotional service attracts Krishna. The symbol of devotional service in the highest degree is Radharani. Krishna is called Madan Mohan, which means that he is so attractive that he can defeat the attraction of thousands of cupids. But Radharani is still more attractive. She can even attract Krishna. Therefore, devotees call her, somebody who's been a devotee 5 years or less. You've been a devotee 5 years or less? It's where you're very humble. I know. You're very humble. Any 5 years or less devotees know what that is? But Radharani is still more attractive. She can even attract Krishna. Therefore, devotees call her. Okay, yeah. Madan Mohan Mohini. The attractor of the attractor of Cupid. To perform devotional service means to follow in the footsteps of Radharani. Radharani. Okay. Yeah, this next one's interesting. I forgot what my comment was going to be on this. Okay, yeah, okay. This is a nice one. So this is talking about, well, I'll just read it. Krishna is above everything, no rules and regulations. He cannot do anything wrong. He is not under the jurisdiction of any law. Therefore, Krishna manifested the full power of the Supreme Lord. And other incarnations, although they came, They came for the time being to perform a certain particular purpose, but they did not manifest the full power of God. Therefore, Krishna is the supreme God. Krishna is tu Bhagavan Swayam. It is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam that he is the supreme personality of Godhead, original personality of Godhead. He is nobody's under control, not under anybody's control. Even he was not controlled by his supreme lover, Radharani. Krishna is considered, the gopis are considered the topmost lover of Krishna. But when Krishna decided to leave Vrindavan, oh, they began to cry. They blocked the way. Krishna didn't care. Went away. He didn't care even. So much dear Radharani. They became blind, crying, whole life. But Krishna never returned. Never returned. He sent his message. He sent his letter that I am very sorry, but Prabhupada says, that is God. He is not controlled by anything. That is Krishna. Krishna is tu Bhagavan Swayam. So, you know, superficially it sounds like Krishna is very hard-hearted. Right? I mean, he's just, all these people, they love him so much that they practically can't live without him. And when he leaves, they spend the rest of their life crying. So, how do we understand this? Well, I don't claim to really understand it, you know, certainly not on a experiential level. But well, I mean, one point I'd like to make on this is something in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, at one place, I don't remember the Sanskrit, he talks about how this happiness and distress in the material world, it's all just monodharma. It's just like, you know, it doesn't make any difference, happiness and distress. And so what does that mean? I mean, I'd much rather be happy than distressed. This is how I understand it, and this is how I understand one aspect of understanding these types of pastimes. That, say somebody's asleep, okay, and they're having a really horrible nightmare, and then they wake up, and probably, you know, we've all experienced this, or you're asleep, and you're having a really wonderful dream, and you wake up. I know myself, as soon as I wake up, I just don't bother. You know, if it was a nightmare, I just think, ah, so what? And I just, you know, shrug it off and I get on with paying attention to what's happening, being awake. And if it was a really good dream, same thing. I just, oh, well, that was just a dream. Nice, but that was just a dream. And I pay attention to what's going on. In other words, that, you know, it's not like you don't experience anything. It's an experience, but it's an inferior quality to being awake. Generally speaking, what you're experiencing when you're dreaming, when you're asleep, is of an inferior quality of experience to being awake. So in the same way, from the perspective, from the standpoint of an advanced, elevated transcendentalist, all the happiness and distress of this material world is just like that. When you're awake, you know, there's that verse in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Yanisha Sarva Bhutanam, can't remember the rest of the Sanskrit, but what is the time of awakening for the... you know, what is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-realized sage, etc., etc. So it's that idea that when you awake to transcendental knowledge, when you actually awake to Krishna consciousness, the happiness and distress of this material world are no different than what the happiness and distress we experience in a dream are to us. You see? So anyway, so this is, it's all transcendental bliss, even though it sounds like, oh, Krishna made these people very unhappy, these devotees very unhappy. No, this is another form of transcendental bliss, Bipralamba Seva. It's, you know, like, best understood like that. So another nice thing, we actually have Srimati Radharani to thank for Rath Yatra, because the story behind that is this. Prabhupada, on one Rath Yatra festival, he made this, he told this little story here. I'll read it very quick. This festival is coming down since 5,000 years when Lord Krishna, along with his elder brother Balaram and younger sister Subhadra, all together in a chariot, came from Dwarka to Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra is still existing, and Dwarka, the city, is also still existing. So according to Vedic culture, when there is an eclipse, lunar eclipse, people take bath in sacred rivers. So especially they try to go to Kurukshetra, a pilgrimage. So Krishna, along with his family members, brother and sister, came to Kurukshetra. And receiving this news, the gopis, And the inhabitants of Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna lived in his childhood, they came to see him. Amongst the gopis, Srimati Radharani was the chief. And when she saw Krishna in Kurukshetra in all opulence, she said, "My dear Krishna, you are also here, and I am also here. But we are missing Vrindavan. So I wish that you come along with me again in Vrindavan, and we enjoy in the forest of Vrindavan." So Prabhupada explains elsewhere, in elaborating upon that point, that's the basic sentiment behind Ratha Yatra. It's Radharani trying to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. So in one sense, we have Radharani to be thankful for the whole Ratha Yatra celebration or festival, because it's Radharani tried to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. I think it was a beautiful verse composed by Madhavendra Puri about that. And then Rupa Goswami, anyways, some pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where this same point was appreciated by both Madhavendra Puri and later on by Rupa Goswami. And this last excerpt is from an excerpt from a lecture Prabhupada gave on Radhastami. I didn't make a note of what year, what place, but I'll read it. Prabhupada says, "Therefore in Vrindavan you will see all devotees, they will address one another, Jai Radhe, still, because they know that if Radharani is pleased, if I can please Radharani," and then trails off, "Radharani is presented, the original pleasure potency, always absorbed in thought of Krishna. So anyone who comes before Radharani to serve Krishna, oh, she becomes so pleased. Oh, here is a devotee of Krishna. She immediately recommends Krishna. Here is a devotee. He is better than me. This is Radharani. I may not be a devotee. I may be the most fallen rascal. But if I try to reach Krishna through Radharani, then my business is successful. Therefore, we should worship Radharani first. That is our business. Instead of offering directly one flower to Krishna, you just put it in the hands of Radharani. My mother, Radharani, Jagan Mata, if you kindly take this flower and offer it to Krishna." Oh, Radharani says, "Oh, you have brought a flower?" Krishna said, "Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachati." But don't try to offer Krishna directly. Just offer through Radharani. It will be very much appreciated by Radharani. And Prabhupada concludes, he says, "So this is our philosophy, to please Krishna through Radharani. And today is the auspicious day of Radharani appearances day. So we should offer Pushpanjali and pray to Radharani that Radharani kindly be merciful and tell about me to your Krishna, to your Krishna. Krishna is yours." Prabhupada speaking now. "Krishna, Radha Krishna. Krishna is not independent. Krishna is Radharani's property. So you have to approach Krishna through Radharani. That is today. Today is the auspicious day. Worship Radharani very nicely and be happy." So, Jai. So, anybody have any questions or anything they want to add to that? Well, I just look through and see if I have any last little bits of nectar I can share with everybody. Here's something for the GBC to consider. This is Prabhupada's saying. He says, "So he takes pleasure when his devotee's name is there. Just like we say, Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna. So Radha's name is first. Why? Nobody can be better devotee than Radharani. So as soon as Radha's name is there, Krishna is more pleased. So that is the way. So if we glorify the devotees, the character of the devotees, before the Lord, he's more pleased than to glorify himself directly." So Prabhupada said that. So just add something to the controversy about whether it's okay to chant Radharani's name or Prabhupada's name. But Prabhupada's making this statement here. But then again, just the other morning, we heard Gauri Das Pandit and the Prabhupada memories. He was saying when Prabhupada heard him chanting Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, "What is that?" And they told him, Papa said, "I do not like telling to chant Hare Krishna." So anyway, it's something that needs to kind of be researched and discussed, I suppose. But anyway, Papa did make that statement there. So Sorry? Maybe, I don't know. Okay, here's two more just short excerpts, and then I guess that'll be it. So Prabhupada's talking about here about the quality of Radharani's love for Krishna. So he says, love means I enjoy or not enjoy. I love you. That is love. He quotes a poet, Cowper, in England. He says, England, with all thy faults, I love thee. So Prabhupada says, that is love. There is no return. Just like Radharani's love for Krishna. She does not require or expect anything in return, you see. Krishna left Vrindavan, Radharani, and their whole life remained simply crying for Krishna. Krishna never returned, but still, they love Krishna. That is love. So that unconditional. Just even if Krishna has no reciprocation, Radharani is, you know, loving Krishna still. And then I guess this will give you the last one. Prabhupada says, Krishna is Ajita. Nobody can conquer him. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 7, Matak Partanam Nanyat, that verse, nobody is greater. Not that Krishna is shorter, at least in this respect. He is shorter in one respect. So this is Prabhupada, very charming way of putting it. He could repay the obligation. He could not repay the obligation he received from the gopis. He was always shorter to the gopis. That is his grace. He said that I cannot repay you. It is impossible. Please be satisfied with your own service. That is gopis. So he was always shorter, always. Especially before Radharani, he felt himself shorter. So, okay, so anybody like to say anything about Radharani? Maybe a gross omission or otherwise? Okay, well, I guess that's it then. Thank you very much.
Srimati Radharani
Ki Jai. Think that's a valid point? Because that's the mood, right? Founder of Rath Yatra, yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.